Hiya, you're listening to the Starts With Action podcast. I'm your host, Presence. The podcast is all about inspiring you to take action, to interview massive action takers, to learn from their habits, their stories, their mindset, everything all about taking action. Today, I'm very grateful to get to talk to Rich Cardona, who is the founder of Rich Cardona Media and also worked in the Marine Corps before, and is super, super interesting to learn from him. He's also the host of the Leadership Locker podcast, which is a podcast all about leadership, learning from the most influential industry leaders, with guests including Gary Vaynerchuk, Dory Clark, and Todd Connor. So without further ado, let's get into the podcast.
Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of It Starts With Action, and today I'm very grateful to have Rich Cardona with me. Rich is founder of Rich Cardona Media and also host of the Leadership Locker podcast, which is very interesting, and I'm really interested to hear your story because I haven't actually talked to anyone who worked in the military before. So it'll be really interesting to see how you went from working in the military to now you already started yeah. Your own company. So yeah, it'll be great to hear about your lessons.
Number one, thanks for having me on. And I know we talked right before we started recording about how it's not easy to talk to people, so you kind of thrust yourself into it and you don't see yourself stopping anytime soon, which is music to my ears because I completely understand it to be the same way. It's funny, people with podcasts and people with video and all this stuff, people think that we really love to talk to people, and we do, but at the same time, it doesn't mean it's not a challenge. So I applaud you for that. As far as keeping theme with the podcast or the show on taking action, starting with action, I could tell you this much. When I was 15, 16 years old and in high school, I was doing a lot of bad things. I was really headed nowhere. I did not have a bright future whatsoever. And I could somehow feel that back then. And I knew I had to do something. And there's not a single part of me that was like, well, clearly I'm just going to join the Marine Corps. Like, you know, the hardest of the armed forces. That was not my plan. I didn't know what my plan was, but I ran into a Marine Corps recruiter and I was like, wow, like, look at that uniform. Like, there's just something about this individual. And I thought to myself, that is everything I lack in terms of rigidity, the structure, just the posture, just the way he talked, the way he acted, the way he got things done. And as I got to know him, obviously, eventually I enlisted. So right after I graduated high school, a few weeks later, I went into the Marine Corps and it was complete culture shock. And as soon as I got there, I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? Get me out of here. This is awful. I belong home with my family type situation. It was just ridiculous. Yeah. I was having my own pity party in a place where you don't have time to reflect and whine and complain. And that was all obviously part of the process, but that action is very similar to how you're approaching the show, which is you just recognize there was something that you wanted to improve. And I think that's where all action starts. And it doesn't mean you need to improve everything. It just means if you are an F somewhere and you want to get to a C, that's, you know, grade, so to speak, that's going to take a lot more work than if you are like a B minus and you want to get to an A. So you just have to really recognize the things that you want to improve on that you're inherently good at, but maybe you lack clarity or maybe you lack focus or whatever it is. So for me, it was just, I just didn't need to be doing all the bad things I was doing. And the other reason I wanted to take action is because I knew if my parents were in a position to send me to college, which they were not, they would probably have figured out something and I would have wasted their money because I would have just drank and smoked and then all this ridiculous stuff and then just fell out of college or just quit. So that was the very first, I like to say the very first time in my life I was self-aware. And if I hadn't done that, I really don't know where I would be. So that was 1998, believe it or not. That was a long, long time ago.
Not that long, kind of. Yeah, like, I feel like there are two types of people, though. Like, some people just, they know they need to improve on it, but they don't go and do it because it's too scary or they don't believe they can. So, like, what made you realize that, you know, going into this like really hard, I don't know, you remind me of like David Goggins in a way, like, because I guess it's like, I don't know, is it like kind of that training where it's just like really intense and just, yeah,
well, for the people that are your audience specifically, like, I could put myself back in those shoes like it was yesterday, like when I was 18, you know, between 18 and 20, whatever. And all I did was ask myself this. It's really, really hard to do, but if you are able to do this, I think it is profoundly life-changing. If you are able to say to yourself, okay, like, what does it look like in the next 3 to 4 years? Or 5 years, obviously. 5 years is good. I couldn't see what that looked like. Like, I had no idea. And that doesn't mean that people who were well-behaved in high school and got good grades know either, but I immediately knew that because I didn't know what I wanted to do, I had no semblance of what I wanted to do, that was probably going to end with just very strange decision making. It would end with just scapegoats, excuses, and just all different types of behaviors that I know I didn't want. So I think when you're at that age, you know, whether the pressure is to go to, you know, university or whatever it is, you should really think, like, what do I want to be like in the next 5 years? And it should not have anything to do with money, degrees, or certifications. It should just be like, what do you see yourself doing or being or acting like that you could think about in the future with a smile? And I wasn't necessarily there. I just knew I had so much work to do in terms of getting discipline and just building like some character and something I could be proud of. And there's just no way I knew I was going to be proud of not having a plan and not having structure in my life and not being a good son or brother or boyfriend at the time or whatever. So I think that's like the main thing. And, you know, Gary Vee always says it, you know, you have your whole life ahead of you. You're 20 something, like, oh my God, you have a million years left. And it's true. Make
Feels
all the
old.
Yeah. But yeah, he's so right though. Make all the mistakes then. And I'm not saying that you're not going to figure things out, but you can absolutely benefit by tapping into the things that you're curious about. And I don't mean partying. I don't mean whatever. I mean, what are you genuinely curious about? And what kind of just like gets you going a little bit? And you have a ton of time to explore that. And if you explore it and take it further and take action, then I'm sure you're going to kind of just uncover a lot of stones. And you might uncover one of the most important things, which is, I don't want to do this at all. You know, and that's huge.
So, like, how did it transition to video creation?
So, well, the military, I will tell you this first. You know, I did 17 years and I retired retired early. And what I learned in the military was, and I thought about this before we talked, it is that I knew for me, I wanted to be surrounded by high performers. After serving in the military, serving with other people in the infantry, serving with other pilots and all these things, I was like, wow, I was fascinated by the people I got to be around and the cool stuff that we got to do. You know, I mean, like, it wasn't, how do I put this? We were all more than capable and we were all pretty selfless in the long run. Okay, so being around that caliber of talent made me desire it more. So when I left the military and I knew I was kind of a high performer, so to speak, compared to my civilian counterparts, I went and I worked in a corporate job and I was like, this sucks. Like, this really sucks. And the reason was I was around by people who would fall in line and were direction takers. They weren't outside the box thinkers. They were really poor leaders that were driven by pressure from superiors. And I did not like to live that way. And, you know, as much as I wanted to take the initiative and take action and show everyone everything I could do, I just wasn't fitting in. So naturally that just meant I was going to be unhappy. And no matter how, and look, like, here's a spoiler alert. No matter how much money you're making, like, if you're not enjoying it, like, it does catch up. So I knew I wasn't enjoying it in the very beginning. And 2 years later, I was like, I have to quit. So I quit. And what I told you just now about looking into your curiosities, that's what I did. I was now unemployed. I was retired, which is good. And then my wife and I moved in with my her parents. And we had a baby and a dog. I mean, like, I was 37. This is not typical. But we did that. I had her support, and this was my chance to take action again. It was not my chance to quit a job and look for another job. This was a chance to really look inwardly and say, what do I want to do? I thought it would be photography. It wasn't photography. I thought it would be videography per se. It wasn't necessarily videography. And then it turned into kind of doing vlog style content for executives. I'm like, these people are probably more relatable than we think. And the person that helped me discover this was Claude Silver, who's Gary Vaynerchuk's chief heart officer. We had become friends and I started doing some video work for her. And then like, that was it. Like, it was like lightning struck. I was like, I know exactly what I want to do. And I think I could get paid for this. There's people out there who don't have personal brands, who are executives, who have a ton of things to learn. And people probably don't think anything of them because they don't have a presence on social media. And I was like, this makes perfect sense. And I don't have to be an amazing editor to do it or videographer to do it, because 9 times out of 10 is going to be pretty stationary. So that's how it kind of translated. But this sounds so ridiculous, and I'm not trying to be arrogant, but I just wasn't around the type of people I wanted to be around. So I'm like, I'm just going to create my own little world. And that's how it started. And I'm glad I did it. I mean, I'm thrilled that I did it. And here we are. Take your circle seriously, who you want to be in it, the kind of energy you want in it, the type of effort people put in it, the type of inquisitive minds that want to learn more and that you might be able to help with. That is what you're talking about. And that, I think, is one of the most undervalued things that people just cannot seem to wrap their head around. If I put this much effort into carefully creating my community or my tribe or my network or whatever it is, if you can do that, it changes everything. Creating your network and building your network, and not being exclusive, but you know, just really being able to kind of hone in the people that you want to be around is something that could actually create a lot of positivity and a lot of energy to act on the things that you want to do.
Yeah, but I guess like this wouldn't have happened if I didn't like kind of put myself out there. So like, right. What tips would you have for people who aren't comfortable with, I guess, putting themselves out there and like kind of struggle to find the circle, as well as, I mean, actually talking about people where like they struggle to let go of like the friends that they've been around for a long while but they know are toxic.
I used to have a client who used to say all the time, you're the average of the 5 people you hang around the most. Well, you know what? If the average of the 5 people you hang around the most are just full of shit and negative and, you know, toxic, like you, if you already know that they're toxic, you have to ask yourself, what am I gaining by knowing that I'm around toxic people but not hurting their feelings? Like, you can't hurt a toxic person's feelings because they don't care. They are in the mindset of cynicism and negativity and not seeing you succeed to begin with. So what are you gaining from not addressing it? And the answer is probably not going to be that great. Nothing. The answer is nothing. So that's number one. You are the average of the 5 people you hang around. So appeasing them in any way, shape, or form is only going to pretty much put a cap on your development. So surround yourself with people who you can learn from, like we kind of talked about, and people that motivate you or are positive and that inspire you, and then you will literally and incrementally see your capabilities and your skill sets get bigger. And this is something Tom Bilyeu, I'm not sure if you know him, he has a show called Impacting. Yeah, he's but he always talks about your value is completely driven by your skill sets. Mm-hmm. So like, just keep gaining skill sets. And I'll tell you a skill set no one wants to learn, and that is appeasing toxic people. So that's number one. So I'm answering your questions backwards. The second answer to your end, the first question is, you know, how do you do it if you don't want to put yourself out there? Well, how did you do it? How did I do it? Like, everyone that's on social media and everyone that makes videos isn't like incredibly comfortable. Like, it takes effort. I literally sat right here at this desk yesterday to record 3 LinkedIn videos. And you know how many of them I kept? 0. And I haven't done that forever. I was like, this is boring. I looked at these, I was like, this is shit. This is not good work. So I was like, why am I stiff right now? And I was like, you know what? I've been working. It was probably 2:30 in the afternoon. I had been up since 4. I'm like, I just don't have it right now. like right now at 10 in the morning my time, you know, right after an espresso, like I'm ready to go. Like I should be recording videos right now, which I probably will right after this. But the what I'm trying to say is this, is it's not easy. Don't be fooled by thinking that people who do put themselves out there do it with ease. Some people are very naturally conversational, and some people who are naturally conversational show up completely awful on video because they can't relax, and then it takes time. So what I would say is, putting yourself out there is very much a matter of repetition, number one. And two is really, and I've said this a lot, and I don't mean to be repetitive, excuse me, but if you really, 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 really want to help somebody, then you have to imagine putting yourself out there is going to do exactly that. You just need to try to focus on helping one person do one thing. And you know what? If you have a friend, if I have a friend named Greg and he was going through, you know, the stress of internal pressure at work and he was working insane hours or he was going to get his MBA that he didn't even want or whatever it may be, and I've helped him, I could always leverage that experience and use it as an anecdote for my content. So be like, I once had a friend who this and this, and like, and this is how we got to the other side, and this is what we discussed. If you really want to help someone, you just have to imagine you're talking to one person, and that's probably going to take a lot of the pressure off. A lot of people get online or write a post or do a text post or an image post or a video post or something, and they feel as if they're talking to an entire arena of people. Like it's really just not like that. Like a ton of people are never going to see what you produce until you do it over and over and over and you get better at it and better at it. And people are like, man, she really helped me out. Or this show Swag is like a really good community for me. Like that's how it starts. So the fear of what of putting yourself out there pales in comparison to everything you have to gain. It's just the patience aspect of it. It's really patience. I mean, God, I've been doing this for almost 2 years, and I mean, we are exploding right now to me, but it's taken a long time. You know how hard that is to convey to paying clients, but I do. And I'm just like, look, like this is not just like, let's just get rich quick. This is building people around you and personnel around you that genuinely want you to succeed and that you can genuinely help.
What would you say is like the hardest challenge that you had to overcome during your like entrepreneurship journey?
Personnel. There's going to be a point that you are going to see and that many of you are going to see who want to be entrepreneurs is that you're going to need help. You are quickly going to find out that you're like, I don't want to do the finances. I don't want to do this. I don't want to send this email. I don't want to record another video. I don't want to post this. I don't want to edit this. I don't want to go live today. I mean, there's going to be so many things that you want. And then you're going to say to yourself, oh, like, how am I going to develop more business? Because once you get a taste of business and you know you have something, you want to do it more. And you can't do it more if you're doing all these other things. You have to develop more business at some point. So how are you going to deal with all these competing priorities? How are you going to strategize? And I'm telling you, the most important thing is to develop a team around you. You're going to have to really, to me, experiment with this. And that is paying yourself last. Everything you want, if you're an entrepreneur, should go directly back into the business. Is there a platform that you can utilize that's going to help you with all your projects? Is there an onboarding form that you can create that's not going to keep you on the phone for 40 minutes for someone who's going to ghost you? You know, all these different things. Like, where can you put money that is going to take things off your plate so that you can do what you need to be doing? And that is, number one, having a bigger and grander vision for the business as it's developing. And two is gaining more clients so that way you could have validity and credibility in the marketplace. So you can't do that if you don't have a team and if you don't have, or at least friends and family to help you out in the beginning. Like, look, it would really help me if you could balance my book for me. And I mean, look, every entrepreneur in the beginning is not going to be making a ton of money, in my opinion. So that's not going to be that hard, but it's something that you don't need to be doing. You know, there's a lot of things that you don't need to be doing in the beginning that can really put you on a path of doing everything but what you should be doing, and that is making the business better. So how do you find people on a team? How do you find people for a team? Where can you go? I mean, There's Upwork, obviously. There's, you know, your Facebook or Discord community, whatever it is. If you have a community, you're already lucky there. But you are going to need help. And look, I mean, you've probably heard this a million times. There's people who could do what some of the things that you're doing better than you. But for whatever reason, we fall into this trap where it's like, well, I got to do it because I know how to do it. No. I tell you what saved me a lot in the last few months. I started recording a screen flow of all my processes, sometimes how I edit, sometimes how I caption post, sometimes emails. I also make Canva presentations. So then there's a video, and then there's a presentation on Canva, a PowerPoint, that's like, this is exactly what you need to do. If you can do that, and you start to document your processes early, then you are going to save yourself so much time, because there's nothing worse. If you said to me right now, Chris, by the way, if you need help with editing, you know, no problem. And I'm like, okay, cool. Make the videos look like this. Like, that's direct, but it would probably take you forever. If you're like, if you saw my system, which is maybe like an 11-thing checklist, you'd be like, ah, got it. Like, this works faster. This is how he's been doing it. He could edit 20-something videos in 3 hours, and this is why. Then it's just easier for you than having to come back to me and be like, having to come back to me with questions, or two, me giving you feedback that you don't want to hear and that's going to make you feel like shit. Meaning, like, why are the captions so small? If I already have that laid out, the size they should be and how to do it and where to do it, then that's just going to save so much time. So this is a super long-winded answer to say you need help. You need help as soon as possible. Don't fall in love with paying yourself. Obviously, take care of your necessities and your bills and food and all that other stuff. But if you start to make money, get help as soon as you can.
That's an interesting one, because I guess most people think of asking for help last. When I break down.
Yeah, by then it's like, it's almost too late.
What's your vision of Rich Cardona Media then? Like, you know, anything's possible. Where would you want it to go? Where do you see it going? The vision.
I know I mentioned Tom Bilyeu earlier, but I really, really, really would love to have a show of my own that I create and that's on YouTube and that's everywhere, and that I fly incredible guests out who are like, oh, I really want to be on Rich's show. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, I mean, come on. I love to talk to people to an extent where that doesn't even necessarily make business sense, right? Like, there's no product there. It's just me doing that. So what does that mean? That means I have to make enough money and have enough systems and have enough clients and be charging enough to where I could literally have a studio and to where I could do things that I enjoy. So a lot of people think, like, you know, the money you make and all that goals you have to be or you should have should be so you can just chill out and relax and take vacations and all this other stuff. Like, this is the longest I've been where I haven't really, like, just been going on vacations. Obviously, there's COVID and all that other stuff, but I used to work for those things. I used to just work so hard to reward myself by putting myself in a position to spend a lot of money to do nothing. That's not what I want to do. I want to make a ton of money so that way I could do exactly what I love, and that is to be like, invite The Rock onto my show someday and be like, hey man, like, let's sit down, here's a couch, blah blah blah, I got multiple cameras, you know. That's just what I want to do, because I just thrive off high performing people. So that's like kind of one of my visions. And the other thing is something Jesse Itzler talks about, and if you don't know him, you guys should definitely check him out. But he has a thing where, you know, every year, once a month, he does something he's never done before. And then he also talks about how he has, you know, 3 children. So every quarter of the year, he does something with one of them specifically. And I love the idea of that, like going on a vacation or taking my daughter somewhere, you know, international, and having that experience with her, or, you know, just somewhere my wife and I have never been, going somewhere. And it's not about the vacation, it's about the experience, right? Like, I'm not going to chill out. I'm going to experience and ingest all of these things that I don't know anything about. But first and foremost, obviously that's going to take money. And, you know, there's this guy, his name is Billie Jean. Billie Jean is marketing. And he says, money doesn't buy happiness, but it sure is a down payment. And I'm like, yes. Like, I completely understand that. I'm not saying money's going to make me happy. It's just going to give me access to the things that I want to do. And to some people, a show sounds like this. It might sound like the stupidest thing, but for me, it would make me so unbelievably happy. Like I'd be like a legit studio, and like where people come in, and I mean, come on, studio audience, maybe. I mean, come on. So that's what I see for the future, and it changes every day. I guess how we're gonna approach that, but things are going well, and I'm poised to meet that goal someday.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely really good. I mean, for me, I absolutely love watching like shows like Lewis Howes, that kind of has this podcast, Impact Theory. You're talking to someone who really inspires you, and then you're letting other people listen to it as well. And yeah, if it's a show, it's like proper, and like changing their lives while you kind of help yourself as well. It's just like
absolutely
awesome. How about in terms of like leadership then? Because I know you're like kind of your podcast is at the Leadership Locker.
Leadership. It's everything to me, but the reason I called the podcast The Leadership Locker was because I am lacking in leadership in a major way as a person who has a company. It's different. It's different in the military. It was different when I worked at Amazon. When you go and are thrust into a culture and a system that already exists, like you are placed, you know your role, you know what you're supposed to do, and that kind of leadership came innately. I told you about hiring a team. Like, we've had turnover that I'm not proud of because some of the video and editing that we do is just not very sexy. It's personal branding for executives, and sometimes creatives want really to be really creative, and they don't want to be rigid, and they don't care about deadlines, and it's just different. So it's like, okay, like, how can I tap into that leadership? So, you know, and I know you mentioned in a note before, you know, about when I met Gary Vaynerchuk, and I've met him and sat down with him multiple times. But one of the last things I asked him, or when I saw him last time, was about dealing with creatives. And he says, have no expectations of anybody. He's like, just realize everything is your fault. And I'm like, maybe it's not my fault that sometimes the turnover is high. I mean, I'm sorry. Maybe it is completely my fault that the turnover is high, not because I'm a bad leader, but maybe because I didn't really think about those people and do they want to be doing this type of work, or is this literally just extra money in their pocket? Because anyone could have a job. Anyone can have a job. Anyone could do any job, but it's a very different story when they love what they do. So that's one thing, is kind of learning how to lead and like being in a position where I'm actually doing hiring and firing and developing systems and being a visionary, trying to determine where this business should go and the reasons why. But as far as the leadership piece, so that's one. The second is I have a lot to learn. I mean, things have been going extraordinarily well, and I've been in touch and done some work with amazing people, some really high level people. However, that doesn't mean I'm not I'm satiated. I'm hungry to learn more, and I want other people to succeed. So what can I do? I talk to subject matter experts, influencers, and leaders of their respective industries, so I could ask them all the questions, and guess what? 99 times out of 10, they're questions that I have just for me, but I know I'm not the only one, right? Like, I know I'm not alone, so I know it kind of translates. So Leadership Locker, in my mind, is this place where you just kind of open up a locker and you can look at this interview with Gary Vee or Jason Pfeiffer or Heather Monahan or whoever and just be like, oh man, like this is how I can get confidence. This is how I could tap into patience. This is how I could tap into storytelling. And just kind of like filling up your toolbox with the things you need to be an effective leader. And some of that also involves learning about some of these things and realizing like that's not somewhere I'm going to dive into a rabbit hole about, because that's going to take me off course. That is something that is probably going to be an element of the business later and someone I'm going to have to hire help for later. But that is the goal of the Leadership Locker. And like you, I love to do it. I love to do it. And it's so much fun to learn, because I learn through a conversation like that far more than if I had to sit and kind of read something, or if kind of learning in a more formal environment. So the Leadership Locker is a place where people can learn and just enjoy some of very reputable sources.
Yeah, and I completely agree with your, like, the fact that you said that it's something you lack, so you do it. In a way, it's tiny a bit like it starts with action. I feel like I have all these ideas and, like, kind of dreams and stuff, but I don't take enough action, always reminding me to, like, practice what I preach, in a way, like, on the podcast. So it forces you to, like, you know, follow kind of what you put out there on your podcast. So being a leader. A question I ask every guest on the podcast is, what does your next best version of yourself look like, and how do you plan to get there?
Ooh, that's a good one. The next best version of myself looks 10 pounds lighter, number one. That means I've been working out consistently. That means I've been running and I've been really taking my health seriously. That's just literally how does that person look. But the actual best version looks, I would say, I haven't given this much thought, which means I need to be thinking about it, is probably someone who's even less afraid to kind of narrow down the type of people I want to work with, and even if that comes at the expense of money. I believe that you and I and some of the people listening or watching this are here specifically to help specific people. And I think I put that in a LinkedIn post the other day. But when you find those people, my COO Eliza and I always like to say, there's a bunch of clients that we have right now that we just love. I'm like, I would lay down in traffic for them. Like, they are amazing. Like, they're just amazing. And I would rather take that than get paid a ton of money to work with someone I'm not enthusiastic about. So the next best version of myself has a better radar for that and a better aptitude for who I could help. And the next best version of myself is someone who has really tapped into business acumen and deepened my marketing skills, like, beyond what I thought I could, meaning my storytelling is completely on point, my copywriting is incredible, and coming up with creative ways to present information online that is going to be different. Because you don't have to be better than everyone, because there's so many people that do what you do, that do what I do, that do what we do. I mean, everyone does what you do. So whoever's watching or listening to this, like, you know, the competition is, like, endless. It's not, you don't have to do it better. You just have to be different. And if you're different enough, you will capture the attention. And maybe you're going to find someone who's like, that's where I need to get my information from her. Rich doesn't do it for me. And that is true. That is true. Like, it doesn't matter how many people out there I could coach on personal branding or how to use LinkedIn. It doesn't matter that there's so much competition. Some people ultimately will be like, I want to get my information from Rich. I resonate with him, and that's it. So really tapping in, the next best version of myself has endless creativity in terms of how to capture attention and draw people in.
Yeah, I agree, because like, since I started the podcast, people have been asking me, like, what made you, you know, decide to start a podcast? Because there's, like, millions out there like yours, and, like, there's no way, you know, you're going to get anywhere. Like, why even start it? And, like, to be completely honest, I never, ever thought of competition ever when I started. I was just going to start it for my own sake of sharing what I enjoy and basically practicing how to talk to people, because I don't never talk to people at all. And so I think when you think of, like, I don't know, I remember, I think I heard, I forgot, on one of your podcasts about, like, the topic of competition. But, like, thinking of competition is good, but at the same time, if you focus too much on it, then it will stop you from doing what you actually want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so funny that you said you didn't think about competition at all prior to that. And that's how it should be, because that is just going to relieve you of the self-induced guardrails that you don't even need. Like, just do what the hell you do. And that is the hardest thing about entrepreneurship, is really, really not paying attention to anyone else or who's doing what, and saying to yourself, and look, I did this just the other night. I saw someone, I'm like, that post got that much? I was like, this is a shitty post. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate when I see people that I feel like I can crush and they're winning. And then I was like, what am I doing? Like, that has nothing to do with me. I don't want his audience. Like, mm-hmm. I definitely don't. And I definitely don't want to come across like that. And I'm definitely not going to make that kind of post. That is completely unappealing and boring. So, anyway, yeah, I mean, that kind of purity can leave you pretty quickly once you start kind of comparing yourself or putting yourself up against other people. And obviously that leads to what is a major discussion in the entrepreneurial space, which is imposter syndrome. But if you're doing the right things for the right reasons, like you are, then it doesn't even matter. Like, the numbers won't even matter, right? Like, what'll happen is you're going to get a message of like, that podcast helped me so much, and you're going to be like, mission accomplished.
So what would you say is like something at the moment that's stopping you from taking action to get to your next best version of yourself?
Distractions. I'm very easily distracted. It is so incredibly hard for me to not respond to a client email when I'm like in the zone for something else. And that just is discipline. That is a factor of discipline. And my wife and I like to say, good neighbors have good fences. You have to really, really protect yourself and protect your time so that way you could stay kind of in the zone. And you have to be, I don't care how creative you are, if you don't have like a plan for your day or for the next 30 days or for the next year, then you're probably gonna freaking fail, because you have to just have that laser focus. So I did an exercise once when I had a business coach for a short time, and he's like, he just is like an Excel sheet, and it basically was at 5 to 5:15, 5:15 to 5:30, and it was basically a half hour of the entire day from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. He's like, write down everything that's going on in those half hours. And I was like, I couldn't believe how much stuff I wasn't doing, or how many times I was responding to emails that I didn't need to do, or how many times I ended up just like, I don't know, taking an extra half hour for lunch. And I mean, like, just little things. So being distracted is one of the quickest ways to just not progress. So you have to be just ferociously, you know, adamant about what you want and what it's going to take to get there. And if you stop yourself in the middle of the day and be like, is this moving the business forward? Or is this actually working towards my goal at all? And if the answer is no, you better stop it. Like, right then, be like, what am I doing? Then make a note of it and be like, okay, when can I do that? When can I do that? When can I reply to all my LinkedIn comments? Because I can't just do it all day, right? Things like that. You have to be, being distracted is one thing that I know I share with a lot of other people out there. And then obviously time management. Yeah, that exercise worked pretty well.
So like, how about, I guess, since you've interviewed so many people and like talked to so many people, what was the biggest takeaways for you just in life, or like, what would you tell your younger self?
Oh man, I had a guy on who's an expert negotiator, and he said something I did not want to hear. And he was just like, I always talk about the propensity for entrepreneurs to let's say you and I, this was a year ago, and I was offering video services, and you know, let's just say I was like, for $1,000 a month, I'll do this, 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 and this. And if you were like, 1,000, I at that moment would get scared and just be like, oh, like, maybe they're right. Like, maybe that isn't the right number. Maybe my value is not worth $1,000 a month to do all these things for them. And then you start just having this stupid, ridiculous, doubtful conversation with yourself about what you're bringing to the table. And that means one of two things didn't happen. One, you either are priced wrong, or two, you just didn't paint the value the right way. Oh, three things. You didn't paint the value the right way. Or three is what he said, is that I'm just being naive. He's saying people are always going to want a better price. And I'm like, F that. I'm like, no way. I'm like, this is a great deal. He goes, it doesn't matter what you think is a great deal. He's like, that's just being naive. He goes, if you want 1,000, then tell them it's 1,500. So then what, they go 1,500. And then, you know, they said, I could do 1,000. And then you're like, cool. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, that is the simplest, most ridiculous thing I've heard. And that's just like, that's not scientifically, you know, amazing, right? Like, it's so unbelievably simple. But I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want to hear that. But all that time I spent trying to figure out the value proposition, how to price it, how to brand it, how to present it, you know, I would flush down the toilet when there was pushback. And I was just like, okay, like, I liked to believe that people would be like, that's a good price. That's a fair price. Here you go. People naturally want to negotiate. I'm a retired military guy. I always ask for a military discount at a store or the movies. Like, I just do. For a plane ticket, I'd rather pay less, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So that was really hard for me. That was actually really huge. So now, guess what? Our prices have gone up a pretty good amount. So that way I don't have to deal with that kind of stress and anguish. But yeah, that one's a big one. But yeah, I'm going to get over that one pretty soon.
I guess the final question that I again ask all the guests is, what challenge do they have for listeners today to take action on?
Look, this is easy for me. Whatever is stopping you from writing an article or from making a video or for whatever, if you are an aspiring business owner, if you have something to say that you want to get out there and you want opinions on what you're saying, or you want to develop conversations about what you're thinking about, and you have whatever it is that you want to share or that you feel like you want to let people know, the challenge would be just do something for 7 days, post an article for 7 straight days on LinkedIn, or just post a post or post a video, whatever it is, just do that thing for 7 days and let the people tell you, you know, if you're on or off the right track. You might find things after, and actually, let me paint a more accurate picture. Maybe no one is going to say a single thing. Maybe no one is going to reply to your post. Maybe no one's going to engage with your post, but that doesn't matter. Because I will tell you, you're foolish if you don't think at the end of that 7 days you won't have learned something. You may have learned, like, I actually like making this type of post more. Or, you know what, like, why am I taking an hour to write 1,300 characters on this LinkedIn post? Or why am I using all these huge hashtags on my Instagram post when I should probably do niche ones? At the end of that 7 days, whatever it is, you're going to learn something. But you'll never, ever going to move forward if you don't actually put out into kind of like the universe or the social media universe what it is you want to talk about, what it is you have to offer, what it is you'd like to know more about. And it's really that simple. And that is not an elaborate challenge. That is completely feasible. And if you can't do something for 7 days, then you got to look at what you can do for 7 days and be like, why can I do that for 7 days? And I'm not talking about eating or sleeping or going to the gym. Like, what can you do for 7 days that most people can't? And then you have to examine that and ask yourself, like, is a pop of energy to this thing that I wanted to, but I haven't been doing? Answer is yes. If you fear that you won't be heard or you feel you won't be seen, that's probably because you're in an environment where those things are already happening. That's what I probably think. And if that's the case, then like you asked in the beginning, like, you know, about the people you surround yourself with and, you know, but maybe about toxic people, and maybe you're not in the right environment where what you have to say is valued, where what you have to say is surrounded by people who uplift you or anything like that. So look, if that is the case, which, look, like, on some level, everyone experiences that, even if they're in a fantastic work environment or whatever it may be. But that fear usually stems from something and or someone very, very close to you. And if you can solve that problem, then that's going to make all those things a lot easier. And you're not going to be afraid if you're not heard. You're just going to be happy that you did something. Like, wanting to be heard is just takes a back seat to you being like, I'm not keeping this in. Why would I keep this in? This could help someone. And then you're off to the races.
Yeah, I agree. One last question. It's like, so that you were saying that you wanted to work with a specific group of people. Have you ever felt, I guess, imposter syndrome in terms of, like, you know, working with people who are even more successful than you, or, like, I don't know, like, imposter syndrome in general? Do you still have that?
So I have an opportunity right now, a very big opportunity, and these people are like crazy successful, but they don't know anything about video. I don't know anything about marketing really. And there's a little bit of imposter syndrome that set in, like they are going to expect that I am like the man. And I don't know, because they've tasted so much success, I mean, major success, I'm like, my success might be very small potatoes to them. Like, meaning what I can do for them, they may be like, yeah, cool, man. Like, who cares? Like,
yeah.
So, and then I said to myself, like, nah, I'm so going to deliver. I'm going to deliver, number one, because that's what I do. And two is, I'm going to help them realize that this is going to create so many opportunities for them. You know, this type of video work, this type of posting, this type of content. And then I just started to think about all the great possibilities rather than what might not work out if I can't deliver. And I was just like, okay, like, I don't want to fail. No one wants to fail. I want to win more than I want to fail. So then I'm just going to lean there. I mean, that's really what it is.
Yeah, I agree. Everyone just, there's so many good takeaways today about just one, environment, leadership, entrepreneurship. Just, yeah, really grateful again I got to talk to you. And yeah, how can people find you if they want to reach out to you?
Rich Cardona on LinkedIn. I have a YouTube channel, Rich Cardona, where I have a whole series on LinkedIn that I post every week, so you could kind of learn a little bit more about it. The podcast, Leadership Locker, it's not LinkedIn related. It's just about for small business owners, for creatives, for entrepreneurs, like how to learn about marketing, storytelling, creative stuff, negotiating, competition. I mean, everything you could think of is there. So that's fantastic. And then Instagram is Rich Cardona _. That I'm still trying to figure out my Instagram. I actually hate Instagram.
Really? But, how come?
Yeah. Oh man, I just do it because you know, I want to win. So I'm like, all right, I'm not going to give up. I'm just going to keep going and keep going. But I don't truly enjoy it. But I post a lot of stuff there as well.
If people say you have to kind of, you know, put it everywhere, or like, do you think, yeah, it's good to put it everywhere, or like kind of focus on one?
It's good to have a pulse everywhere, but you should focus primarily on like your two. So for me, it would be like the two things I want to focus on more than anything are my LinkedIn content and the podcast. I think those are going to generate the most business for me. So that's where I want to focus. If I just want to be like happy-go-lucky type stuff, then yeah, I'll go to TikTok all day. But I mean, and then just have fun. But you know, it's good to have a pulse everywhere, but don't feel like you need to learn Twitter and really excel. Like, just excel where your audience is at. Know where your audience is at, and that'll kind of guide you to where you should be.
Yeah. So thank you, and hope everyone enjoyed it. And until next time, guys.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, then please share it with friends and family and give a review on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have any feedback at all on how I can improve the podcast, how I can be better, how I can really make a bigger impact through the podcast to you guys, then please connect with me and feel free to message me about it. So yeah, until next time, guys.